This is chapel for April 24th, 1963. Student Coordinating Council has charge of our service. Ed York will speak.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Our Father, there are times when our consciousness of our own sinfulness overwhelms us. We're brought to the point of asking somehow for the forgiveness and the grace of God to be made real unto us. We ask thee to forgive the spiritual poverty of our own souls that has come because of our neglect of thee, for failing to find the object of that deep hunger that is within our own souls for thee, and which causes us to fail in being lovely to those who are unlovely, which results in our failure to be a friend to those who need friends, which causes us to not be really redemptively related to those who need to see the living Christ embodied in our own selves. We confess our sins, our poverty of soul, and ask somehow that that which we call the Spirit of God shall somehow come to permeate our beings and so help us to be new creation. Father, we pray that in the most real sense of the word, we may become salt of the earth, lights unto the world of darkness. In the closing days of this semester, we would also pray that the disciplines of study throughout the semester and even in this time of special concentration shall in the time of examination reveal our stewardship. For those of us who have been delinquent, that it shall present to us a challenge of future commitment in this area of our lives. We pray then in the moments that follow that through the word spoken and word read, that somehow we may in our own selves be called into judgment and to decision, and somehow go out of this place more determined and resolved within our own beings to be that kind of person that Almighty God has called us to be. Our prayer is made in the Spirit and in the name of Christ. Amen.
Are the salt of the earth. This phrase applies to ministers, perhaps more than to any other group in the world. Possibly it's because I use a lot of salt with my food, but I particularly like this image used by Jesus. Food that isn't salted is flat, unappetizing, insipid. And a world that is suffering as ours is from a loss of direction and from moral decay is perhaps showing the results of not enough Christian salt. Because unfortunately it is true that the ministry is one of the few vocations left in which second-rate preparation and indifference often succeed quite well. Many of us have been too long away from the world where people live and die, and we've forgotten that such a place really exists. The soul of the average man feeds on a daily diet of half-baked ideas about life and its meaning, largely untouched by the salt of the earth. He knows that somewhere beyond him truth and meaning are to be found, but the ones called to minister to his needs are often not there, or vague, or irrelevant, or empty. Too many of us are quite content to live our lives in a sheltered haven, safe on a shelf, completely removed from the worries and problems that plague the rest of mankind. We have a mental picture of a lovely parsonage in a nice neighborhood near a middle-sized brick church with a white steeple. And we forget that there are more huts and hovels in this world than there are pretty houses. And we forget that an Indian child with starvation swelling its stomach is just as valuable in the sight of God as is my child. I wouldn't forget my own child, would I? And yet how easy it is to ignore the rest of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. And how easy it is to convince ourselves that all that's meaningful in life can be found between the pages of a book, of even a book with limp covers, and we specialize, therefore, in books. It's a lot easier to read than it is to visit or to be a good father or a good minister. And we merely dabble in the problems that torment our people, all too willing to give the easy answer, the pat answer, the answer that we've read somewhere in a book. I do not condemn books. They are necessary, they are valuable, but they are merely tools. And he is not a craftsman who merely collects tools or who argues about tools or who spends his time discussing tools. He is a craftsman who uses his tools as they should be used to help make the world a better place to live in. For the children of God. I was riding down the road a couple Sundays ago, and an old 1948 Ford passed me. It wasn't speeding. And after it had passed, I glanced away for a moment, and when I looked back up the road, I saw it sliding almost sideways in the road, and then, just as if he was in slow motion, roll over two times. Doors open and people flying out in all directions. I couldn't believe it at first. I was the first one there, and I was praying during those long moments that it took me to get there. There had been 9 people in that car, 3 adults and 6 children. One man walking around, not hurt much at all. A baby underneath the car, crying mostly because she was scared. A woman rocking with her pain and asking about her children. A little girl with a broken collarbone, and the father laying where he fell saying, oh, oh, over and over again, what do you do? It took 20 minutes for the ambulances to get there. And did you know that a white ambulance won't help a colored person? I stayed with the father. I thought his neck was broken, and it was. He wasn't conscious all of the time. And when he was, at first he wanted someone to straighten him out, but we couldn't do that. We didn't know enough. We told him to pray. But that didn't help his pain very much. Somebody kicked the broken bottle off the road into the ditch. The father said he was going to die there, and we kept promising him that help would get there in a minute. We hoped. He was unconscious some more, and then for about the last 5 minutes, he just said two words over and over again with each breath. Help me. Help me. Help me. He was unconscious when we put him on the stretcher, or perhaps because we put him on the stretcher. And he died 2 days later without regaining consciousness. I was the last person to speak to him. And I didn't help him very much. We live in a world of hurt and of sorrow and of pain, a world that doesn't have very much to do with us because we don't know enough about how to help them. Once in a while, something terrible happens, and that cry comes over and over again, calling out for any ears, help me. Yes, it may be too late, but it also may be the only time that they will listen. That is, if we have anything to say. There is not a person here who does not want to help his fellow man. I'm confident of that. And yet how many of us find it too easy to study and to learn just enough to get by, unwilling to provide ourselves with the tools required of us as being the salt of the earth. How many of us use those people who have called us to be their pastors or youth directors, use them as stepping stones to someplace bigger or better paying, unwilling to realize that their needs are just as great as those found in county seat churches. We consider ourselves to be more or less the spiritual leaders of our flock. And yet how many of us totally refuse to trust in those promises we preach so glibly about, simply because our own faith is weak. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. Yes. This phrase applies to ministers, perhaps, more than to any other group in the world. Does it apply to you? Let us bow in prayer. We ask thy blessing, Lord, on all that we do. Go with us as we depart from this place, seeking to guide others. Lead us, Father, lest we stray. And forgive our willingness to do less than our best for thee. Even while professing our complete devotion to you. For we ask it in thy Son's precious name.